We all need the Savior. Amen. Well, we're arriving in chapter 2, verse 17, to the end of chapter 2. And we've had a great time as we come so far in the book of Romans. It's been a true privilege and a pleasure and fun and challenging to prepare for these sermons that Gary and I have loved to partake and deliver. I remember speaking about where we go next with Pastor Brian last year, and he was all for Romans. And he goes to America. So can't get over that one, but it's so great. And I'm very happy that we are doing Romans. It's a book that I love, but it's a challenge to preach. It's a complicated book, you could say. As Paul makes forth his diatribe, he goes into these conversations like somebody in court taking one side of the case and then jumping over to the defense and argue the other side and then jump back and give the answer. And this is the style that Paul chooses to bring us this wonderful message. But before we go there, I'd like to share something of an introduction that God is so amazing of placing orphans in families or strangers in families. When Maya and I were first married and we were living in Wales, Maya moved over from Macedonia to live in a place called Ammanford, West Wales. West Wales. It's right out in the sticks. It's by the Black Mountains. It's right near the National Park. It is a really beautiful place. But the Welsh, I'm half Welsh, okay? So I've got the right to say this. They can be a little bit narrow. Some of them, not all of them, and a little bit nationalistic. But we were so privileged to get to know a couple called Don and Barbara Smith, and they were like our father and mother. They were a retired pastor and wife, and they went to our local fellowship, and they really loved Don, me and Maya, and treated us like their son and daughter. And he was a very experienced, he wasn't a narrow man, pastored a church for 40-odd years, a real man of God. She was a classical pianist. Their son is actually, funny enough, the lead band member in Underworld. But that's another story, if you could believe it. But and they're beautiful people, godly people. And he was so old... So he's with Jesus now, okay? But he was so old that he actually had the privilege, listen to this, of living out one of his own illustrations, of experience this illustration I'm going to share in real life. Because we probably all heard this illustration before, but I think it's apt to today's message. And as he was leaning over his garden fence, his cantankerous old neighbour said, "You will never catch me going to that church." He said, "Why ever not?" He said, "Because it's full of hypocrites. That's why." And he said, "Come on, one more won't make a difference." And while we laugh at that, it's quite damning. Quite damning, and Paul made this charge against the Jews. So, first, when Paul addresses the universal sinfulness of mankind, he says them. Gary, last week, perhaps some say he was talking to the Gentiles, he said you. But this week, it starts now you, if you call yourself a Jew. And I will bring the passage up, but I want to say something, and it's probably what Gary mentioned last week. is that now that this passage starts, now you call yourself a Jew, please don't turn off, meaning that doesn't mean anything to me then. Because God's word is universal. And even though Paul is addressing some specific issues which are relevant and specific to the Jews at this time, we can still glean something for ourselves. And not that we could possibly be like any of these Jews, but we may know somebody who is. Excuse the irony. Okay, here we go. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God, if you know his will and approve what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you're a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Wow. Wow. What a statement. Because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Or so they thought. So, we think it's very important for us to know something here. That the Jews were very proud to be Jews. They were very proud of their heritage. They were very proud that God chose this nation for them to be a light to the Gentile world, that he gave them the law handed down from Abraham. And they were very proud of this. And the name Jew meant praise to Yahweh. So, for example, if I was called Martin Hoskin, I would be called Martin Hoskin Jew. Barry Kessler, Jew. They were so proud that they actually made their nationality part of their name. And it meant praise to Yahweh. But the danger that Paul is addressing, that it became praise unto themselves. A name. They were so proud of their name. Pride. It's a terrible thing. It's the downfall of Satan. We read in the Bible. And it can be the downfall of us if we're not very careful. And it was certainly a problem for the Jews in this context. And I'm sure that there's been times in our own experience where pride has got the better of us. In a name, perhaps we're not so much proud of the name Jew. Maybe it's because I'm a general manager. Foot pump. There I be, Dr. David. Doctor. All good. Right things. Okay, Dr. Andy. I'm sure you work very hard for that, but there is a danger when we put our trust in our job titles. Pastor Martin. Am I getting fatter? You see the danger. Who we are. Undergrad. MDiv.
PhD.
The name. And they claimed to be a guide for the blind. They claimed to be a light for those in darkness. They claimed to be an instructor for the foolish. And they claimed to be a teacher for the immature. Now, Paul didn't say, you are not these things. And none of these things are bad things. But what is the problem with these things? They're external. Doesn't mean that we don't do these things. What is the motivation of the heart for doing these things? Is it to praise God? Is it to praise man? Because that is the danger. These things are right, good, and true, but they all can be faked, aren't they? Every single one of these things can be faked. And Paul, perhaps, is pushing away and rubbing at these things. Because it's not what we call ourselves. It is who we are that counts. Not my job title. Who I am inside. Not your job title. Who you are. And what are we? Sinners saved by the grace of God. And this is the point that Paul was trying to make to the Jews. It didn't seem they had a problem of the Gentiles being saved in this particular context. But were they aware of their need for a saviour? Or were they relying upon these external things, perhaps? Paul was addressing very specific issues facing the Jews and accepting the new covenant, leaving behind the old. That was a challenge. But it was necessary. And he addressed it quite vigorously in the next passage. If you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who bow idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? God's name is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles because of you. Oof. Quite damning. Quite a damning statement by Paul. You have the law, the embodiment of knowledge and truth, and you who teach others, you fail to teach yourself. That's what Paul was saying. He says, you that tell others to not steal, are you stealing? You say that people should not commit adultery. Are you committing adultery? You who bow idols, do you rob temples? And what he was meaning, that these foreign temples full of idols, that they were taking these idols and putting them in their own homes. You who brag about the law, brag about their Jewishness, that God chose them. Do you dishonor God by breaking that law? Because we've got to understand the context of this, or it can become across quite damning. But the Jews, it seemed at this time, were so full and proud of their ancestors and their calling and who they are and what they were, they thought that was enough for salvation. Yes, the Gentiles, they need saving, but me? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Pride. The downfall of mankind. Lord, have mercy. Paul addresses the issues of hypocrisy. Talk is cheap. It is not what we say. It's not what they say. It is how we live. And it was how they were living. And Paul could see this hypocrisy. Jesus attacked the Pharisees quite venomously. And we're all familiar with them passages. When he said, you whitewashed tombs, you whitewashed sepulchres. You're all shiny and painted new on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Oof. Terrible condemnation. He says you put heaps on people's back. You don't lift a finger to help them. And you block the way for them coming into the kingdom. Lord, have mercy. So he was addressing specific issues. I'm not saying that all the Jews were like this, but Paul was addressing their hypocrisy and waking them up so they could smell the coffee that they needed Jesus too. And not only the Gentiles. They need a Saviour. We need a Saviour. In Matthew, it talks about, I think it's particularly about false prophet, but it says, by their fruit you will know them. Not by what they say, but by what they do. Goes on to mention here that the name of God is blasphemed because of them. What a damning statement. God forbid that it should be blasphemed because of us. Because the world is looking to us to fall. They're watching. There's also an opportunity to share the grace of God and the mercy of God. But the world is looking to us for answers. Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you have not been circumcised. If those who are not circumcised keeps the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically, yet obeys the law, will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, but you're a lawbreaker. So Paul is jumping very meticulously, so they have no excuse going through all these laws and addressing their specific creed, their identity, that they were handed circumcision by Abraham, a physical mark of separation, that these are God's people. But if they break the law, and those that are not circumcised obey the law, they're condemned. So he's explaining, and as he's going through this, we're hoping that the picture is getting clearer. It's a lot clearer for us because perhaps we don't have to deal with these specific things Paul was addressing. But we can get caught up in religion and tradition. I love a tie. I resisted not to wear one today. But I really like wearing a tie. But I don't have to wear one to preach. Because God looks here at me, at you, and he judges our heart. What? This muscle that's pumping blood around this rather 13 and a half stone fat body? No. The inner man. The person. And that's what God judged. When God chose David, and all the people were looking at his brothers that were head and shoulders above him, he said, no, I've rejected those. Because God isn't fooled by my silk ties from Italy. He's not fooled by my starch collars and my polished brogues, which somebody gave me a gift from London. They don't fool him. Because he looks within. He looks at the fruit. And I'm not saying this, brothers and sisters and friends, to condemn us. But this is truth. This is how God judges us. And we have a tendency to judge the outside appearance. that nice car, that lovely chrome 3-star pointed badge on the bonnet, that Toyota Land Cruiser with the DVD satellite navigation and the reverse cameras. Oh, look at this. And it's black. Oh, he's doing well. And they're all good. And they're not bad. It's not that God doesn't want us to have good things. I'm not saying that, friends. Please do not misunderstand me. But it isn't our mark. It isn't how God judges us to be successful. And Don and Barbara Smith had gone through so much. These friends in Wales, I went back at the beginning, Pastor Don and Barbara Smith from Ammanford in Wales. Sorry, I did jump back quickly. It may not took you long with me. They were so humble. The most humble people I think I've ever met. And Maya's nodding. But they went through a lot. They went through a lot to be humbled. They were graceful people. They were loving. They wasn't proud and arrogant and judgmental. They were warm, humble, and beautiful people. Transparent, righteous, lovely people. So where are we? So, Paul was saying, circumcision has a value if you obey the law, and you obey it all. But if you break the law, you nullify it. Circumcision doesn't have any value. The uncircumcised keep the law, they'll be regarded as circumcised. So he is breaking down their argument. So he's saying, despite having the law and circumcision, you become a lawbreaker and you're guilty. Wow. I'd love to be there when they were reading this letter. Love to see the reaction in the context and time it was written. I'm sure they would say, oh, thank you very much for that. No wonder he sent it first and followed later. But that went down like a lead balloon. But you know what? The gospel has never been PC. It's never been politically correct. Never. It's always been an offence. Not that we should ever be the offence, but Christ is the stumbling block. Because he's the sweet aroma of life to us that are being saved. But he's the stench of death to those who are not. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. First the Jew and then the Gentile. The power of God. Spoke about this power of raising Christ, a holy power and holiness. And he goes on to speak, and Paul is making a line here in the sand that he picks back up later in chapter 5, 7 and 8. And the difference between the religion and a relationship with God through the power of God, his Holy Spirit. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God, and all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Paul goes further. He said, I consider it dung. Knowing Christ a Hebrew of Hebrews, very highly educated man, studied under the name. That's it. Had a brain something there and there. Yes, he did. And he was a Jew of Jews. And God knocked him off his high horse and blinded him so he could see. And that's what he's done to me and you, friends. He's turned the world the right way up, but everything else is upside down. But God has opened our eyes. But he had to blind us first so we could see. And he's explaining to these Jews that are so proud of their heritage, so proud of the law. And there's nothing wrong in that. But it isn't their reason for their salvation. We all need a Savior. The Jews need a Savior. The Gentiles need a Savior. And the gospel is the power of God for salvation for all who believe, first the Jew and then the Gentile. So, where are we? A man is not a Jew if he's only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely an outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. I think Paul touches on something very, very important there. That the danger of the Pharisees, what Jesus condemned them for, these whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. He said, you like the best place in the synagogue. You liked to be met in the street. They like to be honored. They like to be recognized. They liked it. It fed their egos. Dare I say it, they even liked to be praised. What happened? The danger of religion. I'm sure the Pharisees were set apart, this godly group of people, to be a light to the Gentiles. And what happened? It became full of man-made rules and regulations. Paul isn't condemning the law here. Jesus fulfilled the law, and he summed it up in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that was the circumcision of the heart, right back in Deuteronomy, that they would get, that they would able to comprehend to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But all these other laws. He's watching a program, Meyer and I, about the Jew and their customs. And they have two kitchens, one for dairy and one for meat. And that's taken out the scripture where you will not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. It doesn't say make two kitchens and separate dairy products from meat. But that's what happened when religion gets hold of things. Starts becoming complicated. It starts becoming difficult. It has a form of godliness, but it loses its power. Dry religion. That is the danger. And maybe that is something that we can glean. Not that I say that ICS is dry and a religious fellowship, but we can glean something from these scriptures. So, what is the conclusion of the matter? The Jews regarded themselves superior, morally, spiritually, and maybe even philosophically superior to the Gentiles. And Paul is addressing that issue here in these passages today. And though the outward appearance has some value, I'm not saying to neglect the outward appearance, but what is more important is the internal salvation, the internal gospel, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we become born again. Now, there's some mystery in that, but the Bible does give us full explanations. But there is an air of mystery of that. That we, something happens internal. And when I got born again internally by the Spirit of God, you've never seen me drunk. Nobody here has ever seen me drunk. But I used to be drunk every day of my life 20 years ago. I don't boast in that. And you know, some person said to me, why do you keep mentioning your testimony? And I'll tell you, friends, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. And I don't boast in my own strength. I boast in what God has done. And this power to overcome. Not outside hypocrisy. Because in my own strength I turn more new leaves than a winter, than an autumn or a fall even. Kept trying and trying. But God did internally. When you see some people in Africa that may be dancing with bones through their nose and rings through their nose, doing these satanic witch doctor tribal things, don't say put some clothes on. When they get born again, they're not only clothed in their right mind, in their spirit, but that outplays. They get dressed. They cover them nakedness. I've seen it. I've been there. Swaziland. I've witnessed it. Because what God does internally, it outplays externally. So religion is external, but no inward change. Salvation is an inward change in the inner man, and that spreads out to the external. Does that mean we neglect our outside? No. Religion is, you can't have any tattoos.
I've got a tattoo, but
have you got an earring in? Where's your tie? Look at them trainers. Jeans! That's dead. Dry religion, friends. Salvation is an internal thing. So I've run ahead myself. An inward change by God the Holy Spirit. External circumcision is by the hand of man. An internal circumcision is by the hand of God. Charles Spurgeon puts it like this. Have you beheld your suffering Saviour? Friends, have you experienced Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for your sins? We've been singing about it. It's better felt than tell. Can't explain it. I can try, but I'll fall short. But have you beheld your suffering Saviour, that Jesus died for you and he rose again from the dead? He died so we could live an abundant life here in Skopje or wherever we live, and an eternal life to be with him, because he's going to come back and take us to be where he is. That's a promise that we have. So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Walk in the Holy Spirit And we will not gratify our sinful nature. Paul tells us in Ephesians to be continually filled. God has done so much. All we need to do is say, Lord, fill me this day. Help me overcome my weaknesses, my temptations, that we could walk in His Spirit, in humility, that we wouldn't be them people that give Christ a bad reputation. Not that we are. I don't think that for a moment. Because Paul was addressing these specific issues of the Jews. But we can glean these things. So, Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You, Lord, that You're the living God, that You sent us Your Holy Spirit as a deposit that guarantees our inheritance, Lord. And that's something real, Lord, that has taken place internally, Lord, not externally. But the external things, Lord, have a value. But it's because of who we are. Lord, that we would be a light, teacher, a guide. They're all good things, Lord, but they come out of what we are in You. It isn't because it is evidence of who we are. So fill us, help us, in Jesus' name. Amen.